This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisen Hilton.
With guest host, Susie Schuster, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Josh McDaniels spoke.
I mean, I think there's always urgency at that position.
Do you want Aaron Rodgers or not? That's the one thing here.
Earlier on the show, former Raiders CEO Amy Trask. Still to come, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for my husband, Rich Eisen. He's in Indianapolis covering the combine, as is Tom Pelissero, who's joining us momentarily. I want to reset the news of the day. And that is, of course, Jalen Carter. An arrest warrant has been issued for the Georgia defensive tackle after the fatal car crash that killed a Georgia player and a staffer on the 15th of January. Reckless driving and racing is one of the charges. Another one is leaving the scene of a crime. No word yet on the blood alcohol content for him for that. But he was registered and supposed to speak today at 10:30 Eastern time this morning, along with the other defensive players. He did not show up. He did then leave the combine. He then issued this statement via Twitter. Said, this morning I received a telephone call from the Athens, Georgia Police Department informing me that two misdemeanor warrants have been issued and against me for reckless driving and racing. Numerous media reports have also circulated this morning containing inaccurate information concerning the tragic events of January 15th, 2023. It is my intention to return to Athens to answer the misdemeanor charges against me and to make certain that the complete and accurate truth is presented. There is no question in my mind that when all of these facts are known, that I will be fully exonerated of any criminal wrongdoing. Seems like the perfect time to bring in Tom Pelissero from NFL Network to get your reaction to this, Tom.
Well, Susie, I don't remember another occasion like this during the combine when you have something like this come out. Obviously, you know, this is, you know, the accident occurred over a month ago. And so clearly they've been investigating since then. Jalen Carter, I would not believe, had any idea that this was coming. If he had, he might not have shown up in Indianapolis because he was here. He had begun to meet with teams. He was not intending to work out. He was just going to do his meetings and his medical and then end up doing all of his drills and testing at his pro day. Now, clearly, there's a lot on hold here. This is one of, you know, consensus, the top three non-quarterback prospects in the entire draft. There were certainly other things that teams were digging into on Jalen Carter, nothing from a criminal standpoint, but, you know, general issues and questions based upon his time at Georgia. This now layered on top of it certainly clouds his, you know, draft stock and his future, but we're still 2 months out from the draft. You read the statement. He says he will be fully exonerated. Time will tell whether that takes place. But to the extent that teams at this time of year are not only betting the upside, they're also mitigating risk. There is a risk factor here, even though these are misdemeanor charges, when it comes to a player who people already were having to do extra homework on and now adding a criminal charge in a crash that cost the life of a teammate.
Tom Pelissero from NFL Network joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. How has this affected the buzz at the Combine? I mean, obviously you came in this morning and the story has changed as the day has unfolded.
Well, I think that, you know, the Combine is such a massive event now, quite frankly, and I'm sitting here on the Radio Row side of things. There have to be roughly 1,000 credentialed media. There are all the owners and GMs shuttling through. There are all the players coming. You know, obviously, Jalen Carter did not, but all the other players are coming through here. I wouldn't say that it's impacted the tenor of it, you know, especially because we knew that he wasn't going to do anything on the field. Certainly, though, you know, as teams are going through their process here, I've definitely heard it from clubs and asking about, you know, what exactly is going on because they're like us. I mean, they find this out through Twitter. They find out through reading media reports, and even the clubs that may have been aware that he was present for the accident, if any clubs did know that. No one I had talked to leading into this believed that there was anything imminent on this front.
What are people excited about the most? Who are the players that people are going to be lining up to watch?
Well, I think Will Anderson from Alabama, you know, because, again, Jalen Carter was never going to work out here. Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech is now ready to work out. So Will Anderson's going to be the one that's on display, potential number one pick. He's a highly productive pass rusher at Alabama. They actually stuck him in the linebacker group here. Teams then requested him to do D-line drill. So he's going to do a lot of stuff on the field and, you know, try to put on a show for the people here. I think that, you know, if the quarterbacks, Bryce Young is not going to throw. We've reported that's not related to the AC joint injury. He just wants to wait, as other quarterbacks have in the past, to throw at his pro day. Certainly some people are going to make the connection to the fact that this is not the biggest, most physical quarterback that has come through here. Does he really want to be standing shoulder to shoulder with these guys and all throwing at the same time? The measurements are going to be notable here. Not even so much the height, although I haven't talked to anybody who believes that he's 6 foot as he was listed at Alabama. He's probably, you know, maybe 5'11". And then the word coming out of the school back in the fall was he was playing around 186 pounds. There's just no precedent for a guy. You know, there obviously are short quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield went number one. Kyler Murray went number one, but not 186-pound quarterbacks. So we'll see what he ends up measuring in at, weighing in at on Saturday. And then the other top quarterbacks are going to throw. Will Levis, this will be the first time from Kentucky that he has thrown and that we've seen him doing it on any kind of stage since the end of the college season. And he was greatly affected by a severe turf toe injury that he kept re-aggravating over and over for some period of time. You had he also had a shoulder injury that he was dealing with as well. He didn't go to the Senior Bowl. Basically, the theory was if he just rested it, that would keep this turf toe from lingering, you know, into camp, because these guys in the pre-draft process normally don't get a break. So he's going to throw. C.J. Stroud from Ohio State is going to throw. And then Anthony Richardson from Florida is, you know, maybe, you know, one of the biggest stories in this combine and this draft is, as one high-ranking executive put it to me recently, quarterback is not a traits position. In other words, normally teams are not saying, well, the quarterback has the size and the speed, and, well, we can kind of figure out the rest, even though he wasn't highly productive and a one-year starter and they weren't very good on offense at Florida. Normally you want some type of productivity. This guy's so rare as an athlete, and he plans to do everything, not just throw, but he's going to run the 40 and do the vertical and the broad jump and all that stuff. That's the plan going into Saturday, and we'll see what kind of numbers he's able to put up.
Hey, Tom, it's Brockman. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Brockman. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to take you out of, like, robot reporter mode for a second. Just a follow-up.
Wow, that's cold.
No, it's not cold. No, it's not cold. It's not meant to be cold. When Tom
Brockman
comes on, he's all business.
Super Bowl, that when I'm on as a guest, I'm boring. And then when I'm a host, I'm a completely different person. Yeah, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, no, I mean, Tom, just a little more loose.
What do you want me to do?
I mean,
all right, I'll give you a fun answer. Give me a fun question.
No, not just like all business. It's like 95% business. You know what I mean?
We never said you were boring, Tom. It was just that you don't say hi to us.
Also, Tom, when I come, we drink in the studio, so yeah, everyone's really loose.
I'm half drunk right now, TP, so, you know.
That's good. I'll try to up it from 5%, 95% business, 5% fun. Awesome. We'll try to get me out of mullet territory. How about that?
Just to follow up on the quarterback, like, everyone has Bryce Young kind of number one, head and shoulders, the top of this class. What are the chances? How would you handicap it that coming out of the combine, because he's not working out, that one of these guys, whether it's Will Levis or C.J. Stroud, or there's a lot of buzz on Anthony Richardson right now, what are the chances that one of these guys leapfrogs him after this week?
Well, there's going to be more buzz, obviously, because there's nothing Bryce Young can do other than put on weight and maybe measure in a little bit taller, you know. So, yeah, Anthony Richardson, you know, unless he doesn't test like everyone thinks he's going to, he's going to be one of the talks in this whole thing. Will Levis can really spin it. C.J. Stroud's a you know, really intriguing passer as well. You know, there's obviously a history of Ohio State quarterbacks he's going to have to overcome, and teams are going to want to test him and, you know, just to kind of see his football IQ, how he processes, how he reads things, all those different things that, you know, you can see on tape, but you want to kind of walk through it with them in some of these meetings. So absolutely, I think that at least from an external perspective, there will be some movement here. But in terms of the actual teams, everything I've heard on Bryce Young is positive, with the exception of the size and the concerns that that gives you for durability. He was only hit, I can't remember the exact number, a scout told me the other night, I want to say it was 15 times the whole season.
Oh, wow.
He still had an AC joint injury on his throwing shoulder that impacted him. But you got to remember, he's playing behind five NFL-caliber offensive linemen there. They're dominating at the line of scrimmage. You're going to inevitably get hit more in the NFL. Can he hold up? I mean, Lamar Jackson coming out, one of the things with him was he was really narrowly built in the lower body. And so people worried with his play style, was he going to get banged up? Well, you could say, well, Lamar Jackson's won MVP. He's one of the most dynamic electric players in the league. Yeah, but 2 years in a row, he's missed December and January. Why? Because of lower body injuries. It was a bone bruise in his ankle, and then it was a PCL injury. In both cases, things that the club was hopeful he'd come back sooner from. It did end up playing out that way. And that's not to, you know, take a shot at Lamar Jackson. It's just the reality that when teams are body typing guys, they want to have comparables. Even Kyler Murray is a thickly built, densely built guy.
Right.
Russell Wilson was a short quarterback, but, you know, him and Kyler are both baseball players. Baseball players have some girth to them. Bryce Young, you know, he's a small framed guy. And so it's not like he can just, you know, eat 5,000 calories a day and put on 20 pounds here. It's just like he's going to be a smaller type of a player in the NFL. And there's an unknown here just in terms of trying to project that out. How well is he going to hold up? And every team's going to have a different answer to it.
Yeah, even Lamar Jackson that you mentioned, he's 6'3", so he's got at least 4 inches on Bryce Young, given that they have kind of a similar frame.
Right, and yeah, Lamar Jackson's taller. He's just another kind of thinly built type of a guy. Right. You know, but again, Lamar's a really good player. It's not like it's saying, no, Lamar's not big enough. He's done it. He's shown he can. You just worry about, you know, over the longevity of somebody's career. Usually the guys who come in with durability issues, even a quarterback, end up having durability issues in the NFL. You know, with Tua coming out, it was all the different injuries he had had and just kind of taking more hits than he needed to. And obviously, you can't blame a guy who didn't have a concussion history with suddenly getting a couple of concussions, but, you know, he's been banged up. He broke a finger his first year. You know, he's had a bunch of different stuff that he's had. He had broken ribs, rather, at one point. So, I mean, there's different things that happen. You gotta have a plan for it. Everyone likes how Bryce Young spins it. The leader, the winner, the guy, all that stuff's good. You just have to get comfortable with this guy's not built like any quarterback we've seen.
And Tom, you said the magic word, which is durability. I mean, can a guy withstand the hits? And Rich was saying yesterday, well, any conditioning coach is in the back of the room saying I can handle that, but you can only work with what the guy's basic build is. I mean, you can't recreate. You can bulk somebody up if you're a great conditioning coach, and I've seen it happen many times, but you're limited by what you get there in the frame.
Sorry, Sue, the phone was breaking up. Can you repeat that?
That's all right. I can move on. I was just basically saying that durability is the magic word there. You know what I mean? Because any conditioning coach can say, well, I can bulk him up or I can work on that, but you're limited by what you get in the frame of a kit.
Right. I mean, I think that you're projecting that stuff out with anybody coming into this thing, too. I mean, any player, if they've got a history of injuries or if they're built a little bit differently, you're just, you know, you're trying to compare them to past people. That's a big part of what they do. That's frankly why they still do the 40-yard dash and things that people say, well, it's antiquated. It doesn't translate to football. But you do it because you can compare a guy else from 10, 20, 30 years ago. And even though everybody's an individual, if everybody of a certain body type or anybody under or over a certain line has had the same types of things happen to them, then that gives you a pretty good idea that just from an analytical, quantitative perspective, the odds are not in your favor. That's what, you know, teams employ analytics people. They do medical analytics. They look at this and just say, you know, based upon how this guy's body is built, based on the force plate testing, they do all these different things. Is this guy an injury risk going forward? And there's teams that employ people strictly to give everybody an injury grade on the board. It's not just either he's off the board for medical or he's on the board. Sometimes it's shades of gray. And again, you know, the draft pick is, you know, it's lottery tickets. You're just hoping enough of those guys work out. If you get a bunch of high risk medical guys because you like their talent, maybe you hit on one, but you might miss on all the others for reasons that have nothing to do with football.
What are you hearing about Lamar Jackson?
Well, Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh spoke today. Harbaugh said that he has been texting here and there with Lamar. DaCosta continued to express optimism that a deal is going to get done. But the clock is very much ticking here. The franchise tag deadline is 6 days away. At that point, if they have not worked out a long-term deal with Lamar Jackson, the question will not be if he's tagged, because he will be. It'll be which tag do they use. Is it the exclusive tag or the non-exclusive tag? The exclusive tag would, you know, secure their ability to be the lone team able to negotiate with Lamar Jackson, but it also would allow the Ravens to protect themselves if they want to shop him in a potential trade for a windfall of draft picks. The non-exclusive tag would invite other teams to negotiate an offer sheet with Lamar Jackson, which would not necessarily mean that they're going to let him walk for two first-round picks. It could mean the Ravens are thinking, well, we haven't been able to get a long-term deal done. maybe if he gets out there and another team signs him, we'll match. And then it solves the problem. There's a lot of different directions that this could go. Again, 6 days until that franchise tag window closes. At that point, you know, the tag that they would apply to Lamar Jackson will tell us a lot about how confident they feel about getting a deal done, or whether perhaps, and there is a scenario for this, they end up looking to trade him instead.
And before we lose you to the news cycle, what are you hearing about Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers went on a psychedelics podcast today, which is, I feel like, the apropos thing that we'd be saying at this point. You know, Aaron's, you know, he's on his own journey, and he has been for a number of years, and there's nothing, frankly, wrong with that. But his process is just a little bit different, and it's taking longer, and he's trying to arrive at the right decision. The Packers are trying to be respectful of his need for time, but, you know, Brian Gutekunst referenced it yesterday. They want an answer before free agency begins and the window for negotiating begins. You know, it opens up on March 13th, which is in 12 days. If Aaron Rodgers wants to come back and he's fully bought in, then the Packers want him back, subject to additional conversations to make sure they're all on the same page about where the roster is going from here. If he says, I want to keep playing, but I want to be traded, then the Packers are open to working with him on it. It's not as simple as, and I've been asked, you know, by many people, well, why don't the Packers just move on? It's because really they can't. He's got $60 million fully guaranteed this year, and he can veto any trade because, number one, he can just say, I'm not showing up. I'd rather retire than go to place X. Or he could refuse to sign a revised contract that facilitates the trade from Green Bay's perspective, because they would need some relief under the salary cap. So until he declares his intentions, there's not a lot for the Packers to do other than do what they've already done, which is understand all the scenarios here, evaluate exactly what, you know, you would do based upon what Aaron does. And I'm sure, based on what Gutekunst said yesterday, the hope is he doesn't take this all the way up to March 13th, because whether it's a trade or those conversations about the direction of the Packers roster, that's not going to be a snap of the finger there. That's going to take some time, and they're going to need it, you know, leading up to the start of the league year.
Tom, I know the guys think you're boring, but I don't think you're boring. I think you're full of great information.
Hold on. No.
I mean, I know the guys just said you're boring.
No, no.
I'm sorry.
My point was...
On behalf of the Rich Eisen Show family, I'm sorry about that, Tom. That's just not right.
That is not true, Tom. All I said to Tom was he's coming in and he hosts the show, so we got to know him. Mm-hmm. And then when he started to come back in, he just was very straight and professional. And we're like, yo, you're one of us now. Just holler at us.
They're bummed that you don't say hi to them when you come on the air, Tom. I'm just going to, like, do some family business. They're a little sad you don't say, hi, Chris, hi, TJ, hi, Mikey D.
That's it.
So next time, maybe, like, you know, hey.
You lead me right in on a pretty hardcore question there, Susie. It's not exactly one I can pivot on.
Yeah, see, that's why we weren't going to do this today.
A little bit of a hard left turn there.
We weren't going to do it today, but Brockman jumped
in. Hard news background, Tom. I'm sorry. I mean, that was never very fluffy.
Tom, thanks for your time. Steak and shake or shrimp cocktail?
It's, I mean, I've had too much of both. Let's put it that way.
Next time you're in, Tom, mimosas. Let's do it.
See you, buddy.
Tom, thanks for your time.
See what we make happen.
Enjoy, fellas. Have fun. You got the acknowledgement. Nice.
Our guy, TP.
Yeah, but does he bring booze? I'm just saying. Does he bring donuts? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, that's just you.
Bobby Bones, is he going to roll in here with little snacks?
Great question.
He better now after hearing this.
Roll in.
You know? Hey, Bobby, let me have camera one. Hey, Bobby, I'm just saying, I bring snacks. I bring booze. What are you going to bring, Bobby?
You better park the In-N-Out truck outside.
By the way, I've brought an ice cream truck before.
Later.
Yeah. I've done that.
I know.
Didn't you get a
snack? I still have to log in.
Susie brings ice cream.
You got his ice cream?
You got the ice cream.
Take us to break. I'm upset.
Now you know what we thought.
I'm upset.
We'll be right back on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, we'll be back.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
SZA. You seem like a person with a pretty high level of anxiety, but you also seem fearless artistically.
I feel like ideas have more power than identity. Like, the excitement overrides insecurity. That is the only way that I'm ever able to accomplish anything.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
will be sitting here at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with, thank you very much, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. I like the Grainger desk. Feeling very comfortable here. Thank you very much. With my mimosa in hand. Thank you. It does. Thanks, Grainger. Thanks for supplying this fantastic desk. Hey, Chris, let's talk some association, because I am an NBA person by nature, having covered it for so long. Kevin Durant making his debut with the Suns.
Yep.
That'll happen tonight. As we all know, he's been out since, what is it, like the 8th of January with an MCL sprain.
So
he'll be back. It'll be fun to see what's going on. The Lakers assessing LeBron in a couple weeks.
He's in a walking boot right now.
A walking boot it's not a good look for him. But, guys, are you excited for Kevin Durant tonight?
I'm excited for a lot of things. Big ball night tonight. All eyes are kind of in Charlotte right now. Phoenix is in Charlotte. They're kind of down and out. They've been one of the teams, TJ, understanding the assignment. They are in full tank mode, whether or not they're admitting it or not, for Victor Wembanyama. And now that LaMelo, broken foot, he's going to be out rest of the season. So they're just in a race to the bottom here. But yeah. It's more about Phoenix. They're only 4 games over 500. Been kind of a disappointing year for them so far. And they go out and get Kevin Durant during Super Bowl week. And now he's making his debut. Now they're the second betting favorite to win the title. It's kind of a 3-team race between the Celtics, Milwaukee, and Phoenix for the favorite to win the championship. So I'm excited to see what he looks like. All the workout videos that we've seen the last couple days. He looks great. He's been playing 5-on-5. Looks like he's back to being KD. And man, sky's the limit for this team in the last here home stretch of the regular season.
Yeah. Also, Susie, I kind of equated this to, you know, Phoenix. When did they trade from? About 3 weeks ago at this point.
It was weird. Super Bowl week. Super Bowl. 2 weeks ago.
I kind of equated this to, like, being a kid and, like, you know what that package is under the tree. You know what your mom bought you. And it's all wrapped up, and you can pick it up, and you can shake it, and you can kind of feel it. But you can't open it, and you've got to sit and wait for Christmas. I feel like that's how the Suns fans must feel right now. They've had him for 3 weeks. You've got this Kevin Durant toy, but you can't access it. You can't play with it. Now today, it's Christmas. You finally get to rip that thing, run down the steps, rip it open, and start playing with your all-time great basketball player. So Suns fans got to be hyped for this right now.
And you know who got coal in his stocking is Darvin Ham. He must be thinking himself, what in all holy heck is happening here? AD now out tonight as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, they made some pretty good moves. I always hate to give the Lakers credit. But they brought in some decent players. It looked like they were going to be able to make a run to maybe even, not even the play-in, Chris, but maybe to get an actual 6th seed. And now, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, and that's
squad?
What, you know, Darvin Ham said their goal was to be the 6th seed. It wasn't that unrealistic when you look how clogged the Western Conference standings were. We mentioned it before. They were 5 games separated the Lakers where they stood at 13th and the Clippers at 4th. Mm-hmm. And they won the first 2 games. They picked up a couple of games in the standings. Suddenly they were right there. And then LeBron goes down. He hears a pop. Then he finishes the rest of the game. I thought that was weird.
Weird.
And then...
Well, generally, you know, would usually kind of carry
a pop. You hear a pop, you go sit. If you hear a pop, you normally would go sit.
Maybe.
Because you know. Yeah. Have you? Yeah. I've heard it. It's not pretty.
Yeah, but now he's out. And they're going to reassess in 2 weeks. And it seems like the Lakers season kind of... Fun while it lasted.
Yep.
You know, it was a fun couple of weeks with couple of games with the new look roster and everything. And now Anthony Davis is out. He took a weird fall in the game last night. That's if you guys were watching, but yeah, I mean, what to do now with the Lakers? What do they do heading into next year if this is in fact it and they're not going to make the play in at all?
51 turnovers combined of the two LA teams last night. 51.
Oof.
You can't win games with that team.
Because you figured. LeBron was going to make a run, right? They were going to make it kind of interesting. Whether even if they were in the play-in, they could have got that 7 or 8 seed, maybe, but had a home game there. They could have gone on a run. Could they upset Memphis in the first round? Shannon Sharpe sitting courtside heckling John Morant and these guys, but now it seems like it's kind of just coming to a womp womp end of the year, and then they go into a kind of an off season of a lot of question marks. Mm-hmm.
And Coop's happy because Jason Tatum. Coop's happy because he just wants to see him roll right to the NBA Finals again.
Well, it's going to be a little bit tough. It looks like there's a 3-team race in the East, and it's going to come down to his Celtics, my Sixers, and everyone's Bucks.
Is it a 3-team? Because the Sixers had 2 good games the last two games and lost both of them to Miami and Boston.
Well, I mean, come on. You hit a game winner, so it's – yeah, you won the game, but – Dude, if there was five more, if there was 1 second left on the clock, the Sixers would have won that game. Yes or no? So
did you win or did you lose?
We lost.
And then Jimmy Butler stole your soul.
Yeah, well, that's what we get for giving them up. The Sixers apparently chose Jimmy Butler over Ben Simmons, which is just another in the long line of just head-scratching moves this franchise has made since they traded Moses Malone back in, 85, 86. It's unreal. I didn't see AD fall yesterday because I was at the Clippers game. The Clippers are 0-3 since the Russell Westbrook trade. I'm not exactly sure what
worst
the
move
is
in the West right now. The Clippers getting Russ 0-3 or Kyrie going to the Mavs now 1-4 with Luka and Kyrie in the lineup together.
I don't believe that Russ is the reason the Clippers have lost these games. Exactly. He's been playing pretty decent. I just feel right now, just after going there last night and just watching. Yeah. Ty Lue's got to really work on this team's rotations. There seems to be guys on the court at times of the game that they shouldn't be out on the court. I have no problem with starting Russ. He's high energy. Let him kick the game off, attack the rim, kick out to the shooters. But come the fourth quarter when it's closing time, I just haven't seen enough of him performing at a level that would lead me to believe that he should be out in the court trying to close these games.
That's the Clippers' biggest issue
right now is how they've got a lot of talent, Susie. There's a lot of players, and it's normally not a bad thing, but they just got to figure out the right fit, the right guys to put on the court to make this work. And right now, it's not working.
First of all, he must be like, wait a minute, where's all the attention? Because when you play with the Lakers here versus the Clippers, it's like a whole different ball of wax, right? So now suddenly he can just go out in there and play basketball without the attention on him the way it was with the Lakers. He's out there to dish the ball. I mean, he's out there to assist, correct? And that's what he has done since
17
he got there.
This first game. He had 10 last night. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what he had game two. But
0-3 in the start, not a great way for him to start at the Clipper career.
No.
But man, they needed a veteran, though. They needed someone in there to help with these other guys. And I don't know, TJ, it's all about the t-shirts at the Clippers games right now. It's all about the chicken. I mean, that's the best promo ever. And that's what happened on Friday night with that 750-753 game that we watched. Was, in the fourth quarter, if the opposition team bricks two free throws, the whole arena gets free chicken.
Free Chick-fil-A.
So all people are doing is chanting chicken, chicken, and it's like the great. It reminds me of the old days with the chalupas. Do you remember the old chalupa thing with the Lakers, where if the Lakers scored over 100 points, everyone would get a chalupa?
Tacos?
Yeah, it's a chalupa. So you'd sit there and everyone would be chanting chalupa. I mean, I've never had a chalupa. I'm sure they're lovely, but there's nothing more fun than a game coming to the end and the whole place goes crazy. Not about the expensive game they're there to watch, but about the free chicken you can possibly get.
Yeah, you just need one guy on the other team to miss two free throws, and then everybody gets some free Chick-fil-A. But what was that you were saying about the t-shirts, though?
Oh, all Cooper wants in life is to catch a t-shirt. You know the cannons that get shot up and they shoot up these, $3 t-shirts that some child made in a sweatshop in Indonesia. And so, well, listen.
Wow.
I'm from New England, I just say it. But that said, all Cooper wants in life is one of those t-shirts, and he's never caught one.
Well, it's funny you said that, because last night I was at the game, and it was Chuck the Condor's 7th birthday party. So let me tell you something. They brought out mascots. They had Franklin, the Sixers mascot, came. They had the Notre Dame mascot was there. The BYU mascot. They had like 7 mascots that came, and they put on a show throughout the game. And now I'm sitting there, and I'm in these seats that I've been sitting with my buddy Riley for about 15 years. We've been sitting in the same spot. I didn't go to the last game with him, and he tells me, yo, the t-shirt gun went into the suite behind us. And I was like, dude, that's impossible. Like, we've been sitting here all these years. It never makes it up this far. And he's like, I'm telling you, they did something to the gun, and now it shoots up this high. And I'm like completely not believing him, because I've never seen the gun shoot up that high. Well, we're watching. They've got this little t-shirt gun that just shoots these t-shirts, and they must have put the super serum in this thing, because this thing shot up above my head. And as I'm turning to look, like, holy crap, you're right. It hit something and it dropped and it came right into my hands. So
look at this t-shirt.
I actually caught the t-shirt. This is Chuck the Condor. 7th birthday party t-shirt. Wow. This is probably the 5th t-shirt that I've cut. And my buddy just happened to randomly catch me, because he was recording.
Crazy.
He was filming, and he turned as the thing just... I'm literally watching this t-shirt fall and it just landed right in my hand.
What's going on?
Now, so yeah, Chuck the Condor. That's what's up. 213.
Here's the follow up question.
This looks like a No Limit Master P album cover from back in the day.
Really does.
Like whoever designed this is a No Limit soldier, I think.
Here's the follow up. Will you wear that T-shirt?
Oh no.
No. What are you going to do with that? Put it under Brockman's desk?
No,
I'm
going to hang it here for like a week, and then I'm going to end up giving it to Cooper for his birthday.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's better than Chris giving him empty Tupperware for his birthday. So I'm just saying.
Dude, he was like 3 when that happened.
Yeah, I wish I had a soundbite.
You haven't gotten him a gift since then?
That's not nice, Chris Brockman. Now you have a kid. Now you know. Imagine poor Cage. That's not nice, Chris Brockman.
I'd laugh. He's never going to remember it.
Now you know what? It's Cooper. He remembers everything.
It's funny because we talk about the NBA right now. Doesn't it seem like it's just Milwaukee's title to lose at this point? They won again last night, 15th straight. Giannis is unstoppable.
It all comes down to Middleton, right?
Middleton's
Had he
health.
Been around last year?
Yeah, they probably beat Boston. They probably win the championship.
He's playing now. You got a good point, man. This could be Milwaukee's title
to
lose.
It just feels like it again.
No, explain this to me, though. The way that they're just kind of cruising right now in the West, why is it that it doesn't seem like a lot of people are thinking that this is the Nuggets year? Why do you think that is?
You know, it's finally, Jokic is probably going to win MVP again.
Yeah,
he has to be.
I'm kind of done arguing this point.
He had another triple-double last night.
Yeah, but the Joker's lining himself up to be the MVP.
He is. I feel
TJ
like.
TJ thinks he's stat padding with Kendrick Perkins.
I feel like Embiid's just not getting any respect.
The best record in the league.
It goes back to the Sixers. But
well, of course.
Whatever. Can we take a call, guys? You know, I love
calls. Oh, please, yeah.
I don't know who's on line one because Herzo, Adam, I don't see
Herzo.
Any. Oh, it
All
is.
Rise.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, guys? Hi, Susie. How are you doing?
So great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was actually on hold for a little while. I had to run into court.
That's never a good thing, okay?
Kept a guy out of jail for 15 years, so I figured.
Oh, okay. Good.
Nicely done.
Well, wait a minute. Nice. Was it Terzo, did you like do some shady, like slippery Jimmy type thing to get him off, or was did he deserve to get off?
We just cut a deal that it would allow him to do a little bit of jail time to alleviate getting new charges that would carry up to 15 years.
So, oh, okay.
Nicely done.
It was kind of a little bit of a negotiation of how it worked.
All right. Well, we're glad to hear it. Congratulations. What's your thoughts in the NBA MVP talk?
Well, first off, Susie, I'm gonna go to Rich being on Dan Patrick this morning, and one of the funny things that he's making his pitch to be on the committee there for
competition committee
competition. Yeah, I'm going for him because. He was speaking to the common man this morning. He was talking about the 50 guys in the bar, and I think he was hitting at Carl's place here in Iowa. Whenever he referenced, I'm just the voice for the hometown bar there in Iowa. So I was thinking he was throwing out a little bit of Carl's place for us. So I appreciate that.
I love it. He did mention wine bar, but I don't know if you're going to lose you in the dust with that one. But he did say wine bar.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. So I think with the MVP talk at this point is I understand Jokic has won it the past 2 years, but you have to look at it as each year is independent. And it doesn't matter if he's won it the past 2 years. It depends on if he wins it this year. And he is right there in the discussion with Giannis and Embiid. I agree with you, TJ. I think Embiid's kind of getting pushed a little bit to the side, but it's also because Joker's just been killing it. So it's really tough. It's really tough to overlook that.
Terzo, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Don't spend too much time in that bar.
See you, brother.
Yeah. Matt in Tennessee, you've been waiting for a while. What do you have, Matt?
Hey, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Hey, good. I like calling in when Rich is not in and asking you some questions about like just what Rich's life is like that we don't get to see. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you rather send Rich off to a 4-day blackout with a retreat with whatever Rich is getting ready to do, or not Rich, but Aaron Rodgers
uh-huh.
ready to do, or would you rather send him off 4 days with Ricky Williams?
Well, that's a tough question. I would absolutely send him off to the retreat in Oregon. because I think that 4 days of silence without his phone and Twitter would be a refreshing change.
Ayahuasca?
I don't know about that. I think a Cabernet might be nice. I think we could go instead of ayahuasca,
no,
a little Cabernet.
Full experience.
So the kit. So what you're saying is the kit and the caboodle.
Yeah. It's either 4 days with Aaron Rodgers and ayahuasca in dark room, or 4 days with Ricky Williams in whatever he's doing.
Yeah, I'd say Oregon. What do you think? Yeah, I think that's an easy one. TJ.
Oh, I'm
completely opposite.
You're asking what I would do?
Yeah,
I'm going with Ricky. You kidding?
You're going with your boy Ricky?
Yeah.
Rockin', where do you see Rich going?
I see
him going to a nice high-end spa in Napa.
Absolutely neither.
Yeah, high-end spa in Napa?
He couldn't do either. He couldn't live without his phone for 2 seconds.
No, I know. Matt, thanks for the call. Appreciate the time. Thanks for always stopping by. I don't know. I mean, he asked me which I would prefer to send him to. I feel a little safer on the Aaron Rodgers front, but I do think that...
How would he know how he was doing in our fantasy basketball league?
Yeah.
Honestly, my point being...
Well, how could you feel safer? With Ricky, all they're going to do is sit around and eat potato chips and sit on the couch.
I don't want him sitting around on the couch eating potato chips for 4 days. Give him the two organic meals.
So you'd rather him just sit in a dark room with Aaron Rodgers?
With Aaron Rodgers or in the cell next to him? What are we saying here?
They've got to hang out.
I mean, that could be interesting. It'd be very trippy, so to speak. I see him more in like a nice, you know, Napa Valley spa with a bathrobe and some wine, but I don't know about the Ricky Williams of it all. I mean, I didn't expect that question, Matt. I was waiting and I wasn't sure where you were going, but I didn't see that one coming.
No, that was interesting.
Right.
I like it.
You like it, Chris? All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to wrap up this show. We're going to hear from Mike McCarthy when we come back. He is talking in Indianapolis.
You think Rich asked my question?
No. You didn't have a question. You had five questions,
yeah, so
TJ. Narrow it down. Monster.com. They can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move in football and in life. There's the regular season, and then there's the playoffs. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job, that's a playoffs moment. To bring your A game, you need Monster.com. Looking to change positions and join a new team? Monster can help. Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows just how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures that you are paid what you are worth. The regular season is history. We all know the playoffs are no time for messing around. It is time to get off the sidelines and go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com. Unless, of course, you're a sideline reporter, then you have to go to the sidelines. But I'm just nitpicking here. But all right. Dallas head coach Mike McCarthy just spoke recently. He was asked about how the offense will be different with him calling the plays.
I guess we'll wait and see. But, I just think like anything, everybody has plays, everybody has concepts. You know, every player and coach, you have tendencies in this league. You're ignorant to think that you don't. And it'll be no different for myself. It's just how you attack on the other side. So there's some things that conceptually that I'll believe in more in situational football than may have happened in the last 3 years. But let's be honest. I had all the input that I wanted the last 3 years too. So I think clearly when you look at the way Kellen coordinated in 19, just look at our run totals the last 3 years. We were different offense in 22 than we were in 2020, and that was part of the evolution of being more balanced, more complementary football, not as wide open in the drop back, just like our drop back passing and normal down disc. So you look at all those things. So but I'm really looking forward to the critique from you of how different it is. So
what is he saying?
That's interesting, because that sounds a lot like the question I was trying to say to Rich originally when he cut me off. It's like, no, you can't waste time to ask that. Well, that was the question.
Well, that's one of the five questions.
Well, Susie, I asked one and I got shut down, and I added an additional four on top of that.
Okay, so what did he say? Because it was a very long-winded way of saying nothing, right?
A lot of coach speak there is what I got out of it.
So what he was saying was, I'm kind of excited to call the plays, but we kind of called a lot of great plays in the last 3 years, but there'll be a lot more great plays ahead. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to hearing your critique, and he kind of threw it at the media a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, he brought up running the ball with Kellen, so I was like, is he going to go, all right, we're going to run the ball more, we're going to run the ball less? Like, I guess they're not going to show their hand right now, right? So, I don't know.
Chris, what's your favorite, like, coach speak parlance? Like, I mean, he really said, we should time out how long he spoke for, in which he said absolutely nothing.
He said absolutely nothing. It is a unique skill, being able to just kind of talk and talk and talk and not really say anything or reveal anything. You know, Tom Brady, I think, kind of perfected that over his 20 years in New England, where you just kind of get up there and you're like, yeah, I'm purposely boring. Hey, guys, yeah, you know what? We had a really great day. Russell Wilson does it after games. He's really great at just saying nothing. Like, guys are going to go out there, compete. We're going to play hard. It was awesome out there. Everyone's just competing and working hard.
Yep.
And we're going to do our best. And we're just going to give 110%. And that's going to be that. All right, go Hawks. You're like, what just happened? I think my favorite is when people say they want to give more than 100%. Like, you literally only have 100% to give. That's the most. Okay. But when you have, like, I think, was it John Harbaugh recently said that he expects 200% Lamar's going to be back on the Ravens next year? So you're going to clone Lamar Jackson and you're going to have two of them? Maybe one of them will actually sign the contract you offer. No, no, you can only give 100%. That's how math works. 660 math.
Yeah, okay? yeah, but numbers 110%. Are always fluctuating. Uh-huh.
You only have 100% to give. So if you're just like, you know what, I gotta be honest, guys. You know what? I think I only gave about 60% today.
What's Seattle going to do?
They are going to take the best player on the board.
Right. Oh, that's coach speak. Actually, what they're going to do is they're going to do their best to take the worst one on the board. Because why wouldn't they? When you say, I'm going to take the best one on the board, of course you are.
Really?
But tell us something.
That's another one.
I want to go out there and I want to say, how do I screw my team?
Ryan Billick. Oh, yeah. Belichick's so good at taking away the one thing you do best. Yeah, what does every other coach try to do then? Like, yeah, we're all trying to take away the good plays. You owe that good player that you have? We don't want him to do good against us.
I like what Amy Trask said. She would back up the Brinks truck of ice cream at Lamar's house and just pour it out there.
Have all
and
his favorite snacks.
I got you some Girl Scout cookies because I know you like thin mint. She's like, can I screw the Oreo off the top at Lamar and spoon feed you the fluff inside? Do you take a bite of an Oreo or do you screw the top off and then eat the inside, then put the two crackers and then eat them that way?
Oh, you got to twist the two apart.
Interesting.
You dip the one with the least amount of cream on
it
first.
Serial killer behavior.
And then you dip the one with the most cream.
What do you do?
Double stuff. I put the whole thing in my mouth and eat it.
Yep. You're a total pig.
So what I do,
I
serial killer?
Psycho sweet
you're
tooth.
A total pig. You really are a total pig.
You know how many donuts I've eaten this morning?
How many? Like,
I gotta go to the gym for 3 hours this afternoon.
He's literally taken half of every donut that you have that you brought in.
So you
in
put
today.
Your sticky fingers on every donut in the box?
Absolutely not. I got a knife. And I cut it into quarters, and I'm eating quarters at a time, so I don't feel bad about myself.
Mikey D, did you have any donuts today?
No, I'm off sugar.
I know you are. You look great.
Thank you. It's but Brockman, I was.
Well, you
actually,
had a mimosa.
That's fine. That's like
it's natural. It's organic.
It's natural. It's organic. That's it.
Also, there's resveratrol in the prosecco. What?
What?
Huh? I had half of the ones that Brockman cut on, half of the one that he cut in half.
If you had an Oreo, how would you eat it?
Like the whole thing.
The whole thing.
I don't think I've ever
did the twist.
Never.
That's so weird to me.
That's why
I've never done that.
Put it in your mouth, take a bite,
yeah,
eat it.
Done. Exactly.
The whole thing in one bite?
Would you say that?
No. Yeah. My OCD kick in. I have to have the equal amount of crumb on top with the filling. Did you have Hydrox? Did you have Hydrox or Oreos?
We had Hydrox as well.
Yeah, sweet.
Oh, my Hydrox. God.
You did. Yeah, how fast? Eric DeCosta was on. I'm like, oh, he's from Massachusetts. I'm like, oh, yeah. I looked it up, Taunton, Mass. I'm like, oh, yeah. I heard that.
You had some Hydrox?
You had some Hydrox, didn't you?
Yeah,
you
Hydrox were East Coast.
Yeah, you did, Slappy.
Hydrox was East Coast.
Well, yeah, Adam. They were Jersey. Slappy.
They were Jersey?
Yeah,
we had Hydrox. 100%.
Yeah.
Do those even still exist? Do I have to and like look them up on eBay?
Let's look.
Now the Oreo has 8,000 different flavors. What are we doing?
Disgusting.
Hydrox.
Should be one flavor Oreo.
One flavor, one size. I don't want... Get rid of the single. We
By
need
the way, no
stuff.
Wonder America's obese. We don't need a double stuff. Have a single stuff. They're delicious. No?
No. Single stuff? Who's doing single stuff?
2014 Hydrox.
What do you mean who's
done?
Doing single stuff? Nobody needs a double stuff Oreo.
What do you... There's only... I only eat double stuff Oreos.
How often do you eat Oreos?
Haven't had them in a long time.
Yeah. You're so full of it. This is ridiculous. Let me call you out. What a bunch of... You know what?
Here's the thing. I can't have them because I'll just eat them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom, when I first moved out here, used to send me all this crap. And I was like, Mom, stop sending,
Mary. Uh-huh.
Stop sending me all these, like, snacks. I don't want it. I don't want to eat it. I don't want to have it in my house. Because if it's in my house, I'll end up eating it.
Right.
So if it's not around.
Was she unaware that there were grocery stores in Greater Southern California?
No. Well, she knew I wasn't going to go.
Oreo ball. The bowls are Oreo, aren't
Do you see what you learn here when you watch the Rich Eisen show when he's out of the seat? When you watch the Rich Eisen show out of the seat, you learn about Hydrox cookies, Oreos, Amy Trask's obsession with ice cream, and calling Tom Pelissero names on the air. This has been one heck of an edition of the Rich Eisen show. Have a fantastic Wednesday, everybody.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess.
L.A., it can become suffocating. Did something happen where you felt like, I have to get out of here? Or do you just think it just happens sometimes?
I think it just happens, but also just everything going on in my personal life. Like, I want to get on this mic and be like, this is what I've been dealing with for 14 months.
Give Them Lala, wherever you listen.